Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Good glorious day to you all. Bishop Randy Dean here with you today again for this episode of Alive to Love. I am alive to love. All lesser values are to me potential BS. I am not here to see to it that my life is always about me, but it's my life is always about love. I'm not here to see to it that my life is all about you. I'm here to see to it that my life is about us. Because life is corporate. Life is community. Life is the school of love. Life isn't the miserable, cynical, failed exercise or enterprise of those who have overcome us by their brutality or their meanness. But life is about love. It's recognizing that every dilemma in life, every challenge in life, every pain, every disappointment is solved by love. So that's why you're here today. That's why I'm here, to unpack this PhD of love. I haven't achieved my PhD yet. I'm after it. I'm going for a PhD in love. And I don't mean that clinically or scholastically. I mean spiritually. I want a PhD. I want to be the doctor of love. Let's just go for that, shall we? Would you join me in that? Get into the curriculum of a school of love. I have been saying here now for about a month that in this Alive to Love, I'm not here for anything less than being a person of love. I've been saying that I want you to join me in my pastor's study. Let me be a counselor to you, if you will. Get a cup of coffee. Get yourself comfortable. Sit back for a moment. Relax. Take a deep breath. We'll do that at the end of the broadcast as well. But just breathe deeply. Allow yourself the opportunity to sit with a pastor that's had about 50 years of watching people rise and fall and rise. People who've been beaten about the head and shoulders, but they just keep going on. And what keeps people going? I'll tell you what keeps them going. Love. Love is the ultimate adventure. Love is the ultimate challenge. Love is that which sustains my vision. Love is that which sustains my footsteps in each and every day. And if I don't have the goal of love, well, then I find myself exhausted in just a few moments or even just a split second or two. But if I need energy, if I need to get up, and I remind myself that I'm here to learn love, and everything else is just window dressing. Everything else is a potential sales job. Everything else is a motivation that can wear out fast. But love holds me as a circumference. So please, join a pastor of nearly 50 years in his study. Let me give you some counsel. Let me, as it were, help you unpack the struggles, the disappointments, the pains, the real serious hurts. Somebody has said, we've all probably repeated it, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. I've found that sticks and stones can hurt, and words will hang on forever. They do harm you. Words become like statues or memorials in our mind. Words become things that we just don't know how to get around, that negative word. All I'm saying is this, that every one of those challenges, whether it's sticks and stones or words, every one of those challenges is an invitation for each of us to either die or to be resurrected. Either to lay in our grave or to get up and live again. And if you're going to live again, then you're going to have to aim your life at love. Hear this pastor tell you, if you're going to live a life of quality and beauty, It needs to be in the school of love. There's no such thing as being lucky in love. There's no such thing as being, oh boy, they've just been lucky in their love life. No, 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 no. I believe we are only here to learn love, to listen more than we talk. And then after we've talked, to stop and ask questions, to see to it that if I have been talking, have I really been communicating? You hear that? Talking and communicating are two different things. So I'm not lucky in love. I'm learning love. And I want you to join me in a curriculum for the School of Love today. Pull up your chair, get your cup of coffee, let's get comfy, and let me talk to you about it. I don't believe that at all, that my life is just here to gather a few meager belongings and hope for the best and just hope that that nobody overcomes me permanently. But I am here, I believe, that my life, while I may work and labor and sweat and find myself weary at the end of the day, I know this, that if I do what I do with love, then love will sustain my mind, it'll sustain my energy, it'll sustain the air in my lungs. So here's why I believe that. I've got 8 points about this curriculum of the School of Love, and I want you to take notes or make note with me that here's why we can learn love. Here's how we can arise and shine no matter if we've been knocked down. I believe, first of all, that we are inherently carrying in our DNA the image of God. And the image of God is love. Those who dwell in God dwell in love. Those who dwell in love dwell in God. The little epistle of 1 John tells us that. If I dwell in love, I'm dwelling in God. You are carrying that image. The image of love is in you. It's in me. No matter how much we've been rejected, love is still latent down on the inside of you, waiting for an awakening, waiting for your permission to say, we will live and love again. You know, somebody that has been so influential in my life, Dr. Martin Luther King said, I mean, not personally, I wish I could have met that giant, but he once said, the purpose of life is not to avoid pain and to seek pleasure, but the purpose of life is to do the will of God, come what may. And boy, did he know what he was talking about. His home was firebombed. And as you all know, history records, Dr. King was assassinated. But even in the pressures of his own persecution, he decided that the purpose of life was not to avoid pain and to seek pleasure, but the purpose of life was to do the will of God, come what may. I'm telling you that each and every one of us has this purpose, love. We're carrying the image of God, therefore, we're carrying the image of love in us. May we each learn to unpack that love, to explore that love. Secondly, let's do this. Let's stop asking what the world needs, because we all know what the world needs, right? The world needs love. But in the process of looking for the world's needs to be met, let's ask this. What makes you come alive? Because you know what? What the world needs is what makes each and every one of us come alive. That's what our world needs. And I'm saying, you know, if the image of God is the image of love in every one of us, then secondly, let's ask what makes us come alive. And I know this, what'll make you and me come alive is to love. To love and to see to it that every day I anchor myself in some passionate aim toward love. How can I love more thoroughly? How can I love even more simply, to just simply pay attention to people? How can I love more profoundly? Where can I take my love in an adventure of growing in this passion? So I'm not asking what the world needs, because I know what the world needs. The world needs love. Mother Teresa, as you've heard me say it 10,000 times, Mother Teresa said, there is more hunger for love in this world than there is for bread. This comes from the mouth of a woman who spent her life distributing bread to the physically hungry in Calcutta, India. When she could see physical hunger with her eyes, she also said, the greater hunger is for love. So I don't need to ask what the world needs, because I know what the world needs. The world needs love. I need to ask of myself, what's making me come alive? What makes me get up in the morning? What puts my feet on the floor every morning? And that, my friends, needs to be love. Because what the world needs today is what makes us come alive. And if love makes us come alive, then the world needs you. This world needs me. No matter who says otherwise, no matter what your critics may determine is true or not true, you and I, we are here to love. And third of all, I want you to see yourself as a carrier. You know, right as I record this, we're in the middle of the pandemic. I've gotten both of my vaccine shots, and I'm happy to say that the vaccine is doing its job in my life. But I know, based on medical science, that I could still be a carrier of the COVID-19 virus, which is to say I could be carrying it latently and pass it on to others. So I recognize on a negative side of life that I'm a carrier, a potential carrier. That's why I wear a mask. It's why I wash my hands. It's why I socially distance. It's not so much that I'm afraid of anybody else, and I'm not. I'm here to love my neighbor, to see to it that my neighbor is cared for, because if I'm a carrier of that, I might cause their death. Now, that's the negative side. Let's turn that to a positive. Let's each one of us see ourselves as a carrier of love. A carrier of love, carrying the greatest potential human transformation in history. Love. Love. Now, so that means I don't need a mask if I'm a carrier of love. I'm given love, and I want it to just roll right out from all of my energy, all of my eyes, all of my ears, all of my hands, all of my words. I'm a carrier. See yourself as a carrier of love. Social distancing is necessary when we're talking about a virus, but social distancing is the enemy of love when it comes to being a carrier of love. So I would put it to you this way. If I'm loving, then I need to be very close to you. I need to see to it that I'm being as close emotionally with you in my thoughts and in my words and in my deeds. Carrying love so that I'm spreading love. Do you know that the people who have inspired us anywhere, anytime, a coach, a teacher, a parent, a grandparent, whoever they may be, those people who have inspired us were carriers of love. And that, whether they said it or not, they inspired us to live a life for love alone. May you and I recognize, as I've been saying today, in the school of love, I'm the carrier of the DNA, the image of God, number one, which is love. Second of all, I am here to see to it that I am not here to be how did I say it? That I'm not here to find out what the world needs, because I know what the world needs. The world needs love. I'm here to see to it that I am living what makes me come alive, and what makes me come alive is love. And then third, carrier. Be a carrier. Be a transmitter of love. Make sure that the seeds, the influence, the inspiration of love is in your words, your steps, your deeds, your eyes, your glance. You know, in this pandemic, so many people have to wear a mask, and that's, again, I practice that. And so we've found that our smiles have been covered. But you know what? Nobody's gonna ever take away the smile of your face, the smile of your eyes. May our eyes connect. May our eyes be connected to others in a way that communicates love, even without words. So be a carrier. First of all, to know that we're carrying the image of love. Second of all, to know that love makes us come alive and the world needs people who are alive. Third of all, to be a carrier in the school of love. And number four, to know that we've all had our experiences of great love and no love. And yet in all of those experiences, we've been taught something, haven't we? We've experienced great love. You know, remember those experiences. Build memorials in your mind. When you feel unloved, remember where love was present. When you feel like somebody's rejected you, then don't dwell there too long. It's okay to grieve somebody's mistreatment, but it's not okay to live there forever. To grieve it, yes, but not to stay there. To understand that we've all experienced love in great ways, remember the greatness of somebody who loved you, the greatness of somebody who stopped along the way and paid attention to you, standing there and made you realize, hey, I am alive. I am here. Thanks for noticing me. Thanks for seeing me. Thanks for, to that coach who said, you can do it. To that teacher who said, okay, now, little boy Randy, I had a teacher say this to me one time. That was then. This is now. That teacher had no idea how that inspired me to come alive. And fourth grade, for Pete's sake, that lady loved me, Miss Gallagher. She looked to me like she was 100 years old. She was probably only 68. I'm 68. But she said, little boy, that was then, but this is now. And it became a now for me. And I remember moments like that. I remember an uncle who took me fishing. I remember somebody who took time to pay attention to my pain, to my disappointments. And I can also remember disappointments. I know that. You can too. Don't fool yourself that you're going to forget them. But just remember, don't be the carrier of disappointments to others. We talked about being a carrier just a few moments ago. Now remember, be a carrier of love so that everyone has the opportunity to have a new memory that they will hang on to and live forward. Fifth of all, in a school of love, it would be very important to sustain some kind of rehabilitation in your love life. Remember, I started this broadcast by saying there's no such thing as being lucky in love, but we learn love. Find books about love that will be instructive to you. Now, I got to say, there aren't many really good books on love that unpack it in a profound and challenging way. There are some. But I do know this. I know that through these broadcasts and through these discussions, I keep copious notes. I'm telling all of you right now, I'm writing a book on being alive to love. So that'll be a love rehabilitation book. But it's not written yet. I am saying to you, though, that when you listen to a broadcast like this, you're in love rehabilitation. Remember, I'm inviting you to a pastor's study. Let me counsel you. You need to be rehabilitated. You and I both have had injuries that have caused our love to be stymied, crippled, left to limp along rather than. I do believe that the emotions of human beings are as easily injured as my fingers and toes, my knees and my ankles. Our emotions can be injured. And if left with the injury, they will leave you with an emotional limp. Find a way to be rehabilitated. There's no way around it. No way around it. If you've been injured physically, you got to have some physical rehabilitation. If you've been injured emotionally, we need emotional rehabilitation. Find somebody you trust, somebody that can be honest with you and speak with you about your injuries, and then find a way to get some information that pulls you upward and doesn't leave you down, pulls you toward new goals, new ideas, new purposes. Don't just lay there in disappointment. Get reappointed. Disappointments happen, yes, but reappointments have to be planned and charted carefully. That's why I think we ought to be in a school of love. We should be educated in the most important human endeavor of life. Love. It's the most important thing any of us will do. I don't care how many promotions you get, how much money you make, how many accolades you get, how many awards for sports achievement or scholastic achievement. I don't care any of that if you have not loved. Love is the highest human achievement of all time. So as we are injured, our disappointment, we must be reappointed. Look for a love to be abounding in creative ways. That's the sixth point. Fifth was to be in a love rehabilitation. Sixth, it is to look for an abounding love. There is a book out there. I don't remember the author right now, but the author wrote a book called The Art of Love. I shouldn't even try. I'm sorry. I'll look it up later and I'll tell you in the next broadcast. The Art of Love. The Art of Love is about creating opportunities, creating written materials, creating paintings or sculptures, creating music, doing something with love that is creative, that puts it beyond the scholastic, and that's important. Scholastics are important, but taking love beyond, and I'm talking about the scholastics here of love, but we need to look for ways to let love abound in an artistic form. Know this, love is too passionate to be timid. Love is too passionate, it's too powerful to just lay there on a table, all kind of flat and not rising up. No. Love is too passionate for that. It will not be timid. Love looks for expression. It's always seeking some expression. Do you know that this is why I think even some of the most cruel people in the world will love a pet? They'll love a cat or a dog or a parakeet or a parrot. I think that because some people have been so wounded and broken and they've become evil in their intent, they just don't find ways to love other people. But I do believe they're still looking for love somehow, and they'll get a pet. They'll love a pet. And I'll just leave that there. I believe we are all here to be expressive and abounding as artists of love. Number seven, remember your love is always maturing. It's never going to stop. It's, you know, love is eternal. Since God is love and love is God and God is eternal, love is eternal. We're going to spend all of this life and the next life living in the maturity of love. We are, each one of us, in a school to mature in our love. Love is not something that can forever be puppy love. I remember puppy love as a young boy, but let me tell you something. Love that is love isn't just a puppy anymore. Love that is love is a full-grown creature, a full-grown, beautiful expression of life. Love that is love will love in a mighty way, even mightier in its 80s and 90s than it loved when they were a puppy. Make sure your puppy love becomes a king and queen love, rising to the challenges in front of you with just magnificent, expressive love that is mature. And last but not least, in a curriculum of the School of Love, be aware that sometimes your love needs rest, settledness. Somebody has been quoted as saying, "I think, therefore I am." No, that's true. But I want to put it to you this way. I love, therefore I am. Sometimes after all the experiences and the disappointments and as I've just given you today, these eight steps of the curriculum of a school of love, sometimes we work hard and we should. Sometimes we're studying hard and we should. Sometimes we're taking hard-won lessons and applying it to our journals or to a conversation with somebody who can help rehabilitate you. But listen, there is a time to let your love take a Sabbath. Settledness. Remind yourself, I love, therefore I am. And I don't have to fight too hard every day to love. The stamp, the DNA of love is in me. Now take a Sabbath. Rest. You know, on the seventh day, God rested from his labors, not because he was tired, but because he was done. We, each one of us, need to rest from our labor of love, not because we're tired, but because at some points we're just finished there. Now let's rest a bit and gain energy for the next adventure of love. Thanks for being here today. I'm coming up on the end of my time, and I want to see to it that I get the last two exercises in that we always do. And the first one is breathing. breathing deep, taking steady, intentional breaths. On the count of three, I want you to breathe deep, hold it in your lungs, and be grateful in your exhale. One, two, three, inhale, hold it in, and exhale. I'm so thankful. I'm thankful you joined us here today. I don't have time to do that repeatedly as far as the breathing exercise, but I challenge you to do it all day long. When you have a moment, remind yourself, breathe rhythmically and intentionally. Last but not least, I love doing this. This is becoming something of a hallmark of Randy Dean, and that is look somebody in the eye, slow your language down, take a moment, find somebody that's nearby, look them right in the eye, and say, I love you. I wish everyone in this world had the opportunity with somebody, somewhere, sometime in this day, take a moment and say to somebody somewhere, oh yeah, it'll feel weird, it's awkward, it's just that way, but it's that way because we haven't taken the time to be more loving. Look somebody in the eye and say, I love you. I'm Randy Dean. I'm alive to love. All lesser values are potential BS. You have been with me in this pastor's council for the last 25, 26 minutes, and I'm challenging you to learn to rise to the image of God, and that image is love. Now go out there and do something beautiful in this big wide world, because ugly has been done to death. Oh baby, we don't need any more ugly. We need beauty in this big beautiful world. Thank you for being here today. I'm Bishop Randy Dean. I'm alive to love.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.